Good morning, everyone. I want to talk to you today about God the Father. This world of ours is a little bit crazy, isn't it? Kind of feels upside down sometimes. You think about wars and rumors of wars. I never knew what that meant, but it kind of makes sense to me now. It seems like there's just always something big coming around the corner. Our government, I don't know what's going on there. It's pretty different. It's interesting at the very least, right? Or the economy, housing needs, homelessness, drug problems, all kinds of problems. The world is just upside down. And it's spiritually exhausting to have to deal with it. Sometimes you want to just get mad and just rage at the world, you know. Or you could get a feeling of hopelessness. Like it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Everything's just falling apart. Or you could get resentful. These are just bad for us. I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to feel those kinds of feelings like the world is overcoming you. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to face all kinds of troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Isn't that a blessing? To know that our God is like this. We need a way to anchor. We need a way to be settled in this world, that no matter what happens, we're secure and we stand firm. And we're in this series that we're calling Orthodoxy, and it's core convictions for turbulent times. And today, I'm going to talk to you about God the Father. Now, we know that God the Father is the first person in the Trinity. If you've never heard of that before, the Trinity, the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. We know that God the Father is the first one in that Trinity. But as I studied this week, it occurred to me, I just realized, you know, I know quite a bit about Jesus. I'm actually going to preach on him next week, and that's not going to be real hard to find something I want to say. And the same thing with the Spirit. I know a lot about the Spirit that I could talk about. But as I prepared this week, I thought, I don't know nearly as much about the Father as I thought I did. There's so much more to know about him. And today what I want to do is I want to unpack what it means that he's God the Father, and then I want to give you four anchors that can anchor your soul, anchor your mind, anchor your confidence, anchor your faith in who he is and what he does. That's what I want to talk about with you today. And I hope that when you leave here, you'll leave knowing that God our Father gives us everything we need to be anchored and steadfast in this pretty turbulent world. So first, let's unpack what it means that he's God our Father. Just think for a second. God our Father. We're going to spend more time here than we spend on the other points. So if I get to the end of this one and you realize that there are five more things for me to say, don't panic. This one's going to take the most time, okay? And usually, I like to preach verse by verse. I like to find a main text and work our way through it. But we have so much to say because our God's so big, we're going to fly right through this. We're going to cover a lot of text. So instead of telling you where to turn, we're going to have them up on the screen. And you can read it there. And they'll be up there long enough. You can write down the references or you can text that number right over there on the wall and you can get the notes. There you go. It's up on the slide too. You can get the notes. But let's just start with this. God our Father is, first of all, really big. God our Father is so big. He is a powerful God. In Acts chapter 17, it says that he made the world and everything in it. And he doesn't need anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God our Father is the creator of all things. He's the driving force behind all of creation. When the Apostle Paul writes about who God the Father is, in 1 Corinthians, he says he's the Father from whom are all things. He's the driving force behind it all. It was his vision, his decree. And by that, look at what we've got. Mountains. sunsets, whistling birds, lizards that have so many colors, people, the things that you can smell, the things that you can hear and taste, the colors that you see, grasslands, deserts, forests. I mean, just look at how big God is. Look at how unlimited He is in creativity. This God of ours is, He's giant, but He's not just a creator, He's also a sustainer. He keeps life going, is what I mean. You think about in the Psalms, it says the young lions seek their food from God. The young lions roar for their food, and it's Him that they're speaking to. And then Jesus says that the Father feeds the birds of the air. He gives them everything that they need. And then I love this. In Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul is preaching about God to some people who didn't know Him, they were looking for some kind of God. He says, oh, I've got just the God for you. He's so big that in Him we live and move and have our being. We exist. Every heartbeat, every breath that you take, every moment that you exist, it's because of God the Father. But you know what? He's even bigger than that. We could keep going. He's a limitless, eternal God. We could just keep going on and on about His praises and the things that we could say. But I just want to give you a few more. First of all, He knows everything. We call this His omniscience. God knows everything. He declares the end from the beginning. Not just that. He's also everywhere at once. We call this His omnipresence. I love the verse, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I were somehow make my way as far as I could go, you're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, if I dig a hole all the way to the middle of the earth, there you are. You're there too. God is omnipresent. He knows everything, and He's everywhere at once, and He can do anything. We call this His omnipotence. Listen to Isaiah 14. The Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Don't you love that picture? Like if I reach out like this and somebody, get your hand, you know, oh, pull my hand back. But you can't do that to God. He sticks His hand out there. Who's going to push it back and say no? He can do anything. So He knows everything. He's everywhere at once, and He can do anything. He's creator and sustainer of all things, but it's even bigger than that. You see, our God is unchanging. We call this His immutability. Immutable. That doesn't mean like some people seem immutable. Like, you know, you never be quiet. That's not what that word means, though. That word means that He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, He's got this message to the Israelites. And He's trying to tell them, you need to be careful. You're messing up. You're bringing bad sacrifices and all this to Me. And really, they deserve to just be wiped out. And God said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason that you're still here is because I don't change. What a great truth. What a great truth for me that I'm here and God loves me because He doesn't change. He is immutable. There's no room for improvement. But He's also what we call transcendent. It just means He's outside of space and time. Time has no effect on Him. There's that verse in Peter where he says, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. In other words, it doesn't matter to God. It's all like that. He sees the end from the beginning. And so He's outside of space and time because He is eternal. Go back 100 years. He's there. And He's the same as He ever was. Go back 1,000 years, He's there. And He's the same. 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, it's meaningless. Whatever you say, it doesn't matter. He has always been. And the way He describes it to us, He says, I am that I am. I exist. I am. God. No beginning, no end. I know that the world can seem pretty upside down. I know it can seem pretty scary, and your reaction to it might be a negative one. You might go the wrong way with it. But I want to encourage you to remember that no matter what happens, if World War III does come, if everything does collapse, no matter how much corruption, no matter where our society goes, or how bad your family life is, or how bad your work life is, or how bad you are, however much you personally sin and fail, however helpless you might feel, and carried away by these things you might feel, I want you to remember that the Lord goes out like a mighty man, and He shows Himself mighty against His foes. The Lord goes out like a mighty man and shows Himself mighty against His foes. He is so big. He can handle anything. There's nothing that can come His way that He can't handle. Let that be an anchor for you. When the world seems the way that it seems, let it be an anchor for you that God is above it all. And then here's something else that's just amazing. Somehow, our God is our Father. Our God is our Father. Now, any of you, our home is welcome. Our home is open. Any of you are welcome to come over anytime. But when you come over, you should probably knock on the door first. Don't just walk in. And when you come over, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't open the fridge and raid it and see whatever I've got in there. Because that would be rude. But it's different with my kids. When my kids come home, they just fling the door open, they fling the fridge door open, and then all the food's gone. We haven't had leftovers. So I've got two boys and two girls. They eat just as much as the boys, I think. Since they learned to open the fridge for themselves, we don't have leftovers anymore. Last weekend, we made chicken wings, and we had just a few left, and so I was taking them, and I was licking them and putting them in a bowl and saying, I lick these, okay? Don't touch my leftovers. But you have to do that because it's a community fridge, and anybody can just get in there. To everyone who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. To everyone who believed in Jesus, He gave them the right to become children of God. Our God is really big, but He's also really personal. He is so powerful, and He is involved in your life. He's adopted you into His family, and He has given you the full rights of sonship, of adoption. He's promised you an inheritance. He's not some distant and standoffish God like some of the gods of the world are so far away from the people. Our God is right here with us. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." I want you to hear that. There is a room in God's house for you. You can walk into His house and sit at His table. And you are not a guest. You're family. You belong. So in this world where there's so much turbulence and when you feel unwanted and isolated, if you even feel fatherless, you have this anchor for your soul that God is your Father and you are in His family. I know some fathers aren't that great. I've had a couple weeks to prepare this sermon, and I've spoken with a lot of people about it. And more than three or four people have brought it up to me and said, "But you know, I didn't have a very good father. My father was, he wasn't like what we hope God is. So why would God want to reveal Himself that way?" I want to give you four anchors right now that show what kind of father He is, that show He is good. The first one is this. He loves and forgives us. If you're struggling in this world, you're struggling with the way the world is going or the way your own heart is going, the way your family is going, there is an anchor here for you, knowing that our Father, who is God, loves and forgives. He knows everything about you. He is there for every sin you've ever committed. He sees into your heart. And he has power to judge. And yet he chooses to love and forgive. He loves you so much. The Bible says that he sent his only begotten son. We are adopted. Jesus is his only begotten. He sent his only begotten son for you. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. This is while we were yet sinners. Sometimes you think, well, if I could just get things right, I need to get things together and then I can go to God. And God says, why would you get things together? Leave your sin now. Leave your worries now. Leave your resentment and your anger now. Come to me. Bring it with you. I'll help you. And his love for us doesn't have anything to do with our performance. Four kids. If all four of them, if any of the four of them, turned against me and hated me and worked against me, I could never hate them. I would always love them. And if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more my Father in heaven? If I can be patient with my children when they're wrong, when they're rebellious, if I could be in a spot where I never stop loving them, nothing they do, nothing you do can change the way I feel about you. How much more God? Nothing in all creation, we read. Nothing. Not the past, not the present, not the future, not success, not failure. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. You hear that? Do you need to hear that this morning? There is nothing you can do that can outsin his grace. I think of that prodigal son. There's a story that Jesus tells. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. This father has two boys, and they're of age. And one wants his inheritance now. Usually you get it when the father dies. But this one, he's in a hurry. I got big plans. I need my share now. And the father gives it to him. Here you go. What an insult. And then the kid runs off and he squanders it all. He just wastes it. Every dime he has until he is completely homeless and has nothing left. And he's feeding pigs on a farm. One day he comes to his senses and he realizes, I need to go back to my father's house. And I know that I've messed up so badly that I don't deserve to be forgiven. So maybe I can go back and I can be a servant in the house. Maybe he'll accept me back in as just one of the guys who helps out. And so he goes back, and I imagine he's pretty nervous. He's walking a little slow there when he gets closer to the house, that feeling in his stomach as he realizes I'm about to be confronted. And there's the father out in the field, and he's working, and he's doing his job, and he looks up, and he sees that silhouette off in the distance, and that looks like my son. Oh, I've been praying for this. Oh, is that my son? And he just takes off running. And he gets to the son. The son's ready. I'm just gonna tell him. And oh, he's coming awful fast. And here he comes and he rushes and he just wraps his arms around him. Son, I've been praying for you for so long. But I'm sorry, Dad. Just get some clothes on him. Let's get some clean clothes on him. Let's put a ring on his finger to show he's in this family. Let's get some food in his belly. Son, I'm so glad you're home. I've missed you and I've prayed for you and I've loved you. And then you read, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, that's how God sees us. He shows compassion as our Father. He offers us a fresh start. He promises there is no record of sin. He's forgiven you of it all. And so in this turbulent world, you have this anchor. You're not unloved and you're not unforgiven. You have the love of God towards you. You have His forgiveness and you're embraced. The second thing, He doesn't just love and forgive us. He also keeps His promises. God has kept His promises to me. I look back over my life and I see the way that He has guided me. He has been with me every step of the way. And He promised that He would never give up on us. He says that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He's going to finish what He started. And I can tell you, there have been seasons in my life where if it had just been my faithfulness, I wouldn't be here today. There have been seasons in my life that I've been rebellious, that I've been faithless. I've been prepared to just wander off. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But the Good Shepherd, He comes and finds me every time, just like He said He would. He is so faithful. He keeps His promises. That's so valuable. What can you really trust in this world? What can you really depend on? You watch the news. It's kind of a lot of lies, isn't it? Not much truth. You hear a politician speak. You can't trust any of it. There's nothing that you can believe in. There are scams and just untruth, lies. And maybe you had a father who was that way, who didn't tell you the truth, who wasn't honest with you. But God is a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. He's a God of faithfulness and there's no sin in Him. Joshua, when they were they had just conquered the land of Israel, and Joshua was one of their big leaders, and he stopped them and reminded them. Not one word of all His good promises has failed. All came to pass. And then by the time you get to the New Testament and you read what Paul's saying, he says those promises, they have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Even when we're unfaithful, our God is dependable. He's our Father. And where the world is so untrustworthy, we have a certainty in hope because He who promised is faithful. So, He loves us and forgives us. He keeps His promises and He corrects and conforms us. That's the next one. He corrects and He conforms us. Now, that might not sound good. How many of you want to be in trouble with God? No, we don't want that. When I was a kid, I remember one time I'd just gotten a spanking and I shouted through the door, "When I grow up, I'm never going to spank my kids because I know how it feels." Did I keep that promise? I failed on that, didn't I? Consider the alternative. What happens if you don't, now I don't mean just spankings, but discipline in general. What's the alternative to that? Kids who aren't disciplined seem to be the unhappiest because they have no boundaries. Through discipline, you show love. Now, you can take it so far where it becomes a selfish thing and an abusive thing. But if you have none at all, well, that's not love. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And it's the rod of correction that drives it out. There's something about pain that even when we become adults, there's something about suffering that keeps us on the right path. And God is a God who loves us And so he wants to set boundaries for us. You know, like a fenced-in backyard where a child is free to play. You're free to go anywhere you want and play however you want as long as you stay within these walls. There's safety there and freedom there. So what he says is, do not despise the Lord's discipline. For he reproves him whom he loves as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. He's promised to work all things together for your good because he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. He's shaping us and making us more like Jesus because he wants us to walk in righteousness. God wants us to live in a way that is the way that we were designed to live, with holiness, with his fruit. And so he gives us his word, and sometimes he chastens us there. Have you ever read a scripture before and felt like, wow, God is just speaking to me here? I'll tell you one that we were struggling with. When we lived in Alabama, we had a really big house. And we moved here, and it's not as big. And we would like one a little bit bigger. So we were thinking, how are we going to get this? And we were just stressing about it almost. And I was reading in the book of Exodus. Yeah, I think it was Exodus. Anyway, wherever it was. And the Israelites are complaining. See, they've been set free from Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They had food there. And they had leeks and onions. And they got out. And they're wandering around in the desert. And all they have is this manna, you know, that God has provided, this bread from heaven. And what they said was, well, in Egypt, we had leeks and onions. And when I read it, I heard myself say, well, in Alabama, I had a big house. Why don't you just stop complaining and be happy with what God has provided? And I was corrected while I read. That was a little bit of discipline. And you know what it did? It made me content. I'm okay. God's provided. Sometimes he does it through his spirit in your conscience. Sometimes he does it through a friend, and those can be the hardest ones to accept. Number one, because you don't know if it's actually God speaking or not. Number two, who are you to talk to me like that? And yet God does speak to us that way. A word aptly spoken is like a golden apple on a silver tray. Pay attention to those people. It's not always pleasant. All discipline seems painful in the moment. But later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In this world where we've got so much turbulence because there aren't a lot of boundaries. It's kind of anything goes, do whatever you like, believe whatever you want, feel however you want. We have an anchor for our souls. We have clear boundaries from God to live righteous lives and to have healthy souls. Finally, the last one, he provides everything we need. God provides, God, our Father, provides everything we need. I love this verse, one of my favorite verses. I have been young and now I'm old. One thing I've never seen is the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. I have lived a long life, and one thing I've seen is that God is faithful. He does not leave his people helpless. That's the story of my life. I have been homeless in life. I've never gone without a roof. I have been hungry in life, but I have never starved. God has always been right there with me. I've never had to beg. He's always providing. His promise is that he will supply every need according to, anybody know how this ends? According to his, say again, riches in glory. He gives us everything we need according to his store. How much does God have? Well, he's the creator of all things. The owner of a thousand cattle on a hill. He has got everything. And if he doesn't have something, he can speak it into existence. And he's promised to provide for everything that you need. Every physical need, every emotional need, every spiritual need. He knows, he cares, and he's powerful enough to do it. And in this world where there's so much uncertainty, things like inflation, what's going to happen with the U.S. dollar? What's going to happen with recession? Are we going to go into a depression? Is there going to be more war? Are we going to see more injustice? Are we going to be persecuted as a church? We have an anchor. We can ask those questions, but we don't have to ask them in a frantic way because we're grounded in God. Maybe we will suffer persecution, but you know who will be there when we are? God will be there. He will love us. He will forgive us. He will provide for us. There is nothing that can happen. God our Father is really big, and somehow he's our Father. He loves us and forgives us. He keeps his promises. He corrects and conforms, and he provides everything we need. So here's what I want you to do with this. Number one, I want you to be amazed. Right now in your seat, can you just stop and worship him? Oh, God, thank you. Just be amazed. Second thing, if you're new to this, I don't know that God is my Father, I want to extend you an invitation to join the family. I have permission to do that. He has told us to go and make disciples. Tell people about Jesus so that they can believe in his name and become sons of God themselves, children of God. To everyone who believed. Can you believe in the name of Jesus? I don't mean just believe. The devil believes. The devil knows everything there is to know about Jesus that we'll know, or that we do know. It doesn't do him any good. The fact of the matter is, it's those who come to Jesus and say, you're the Lord. I want to give you all of my life. You're a great big God. I want to follow you. That declaration of faith, those who confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, those people are saved. You can join this family right now. Just sit there and do it in your heart. While everybody else worships, do it in your heart and worship that way. Do it right now in prayer. Number three, I want you to find stability in all these things we've talked about. Be anchored by his love and forgiveness. Be anchored by his faithfulness and his correction and his provision. How do you do that? Well, you got to know what he says. For one thing, learn the word. Read it. Get in there and find these promises that he's made. That's what I've done, is I've just taken a bunch of scriptures about God the Father and I've just weaved them together into promises that we can hold on to. You can do the same thing. Memorize them. Walk in them. Be his follower. Let these things change how you act and how you think. And then finally, join me in inviting others. Invite others in to come and worship our God with us. We have something amazing. A great big God who is our Father. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, we're dismissed. If you would like to speak with one of our pastors, or if you would like to pray, so there'll be people right over here on this wall over here. I'm available. Come and speak to us. Come and find prayer. Jesus, we thank you. Father, we thank you. That as big as you are, you've loved us the way that you have, and you've welcomed us into your home. May we find solace and contentment there, so that whatever comes our way in this world, that we can face it with joy, and that we would glorify your name as you build our faith and lead us home. I ask this in the name of the only begotten Son you gave for us, Jesus. Amen.